dude. It's just I looked over to see how much time we were doing, and the button wasn't lit up.
Nice.
So this is
take two
of the world's literal worst produced drifting podcast.
Yep.
I am your host, again, for the second time today, Joshua Leatherbarrow, and to my co-host is...
Adam Bergener.
Gosh, this is so dumb. So, if you didn't know, we are not, like, media people.
We're not, like,
we don't record videos, we don't take pictures, we don't make things. But we have this podcast, and I'm terrible at it. It's real simple. Hit record on the video, hit record on the audio, put them together, put them out. And then there's our episode. I don't do any fancy editing. I don't do any whatever. Oh, I'm so sad, dude. We recorded probably 25, 30 minutes of an episode of just video, no audio. We talked about some cool stuff. I guess we're going to talk about it again.
Yep.
Let's take a moment of silence. I need to hire a producer or like a director. It's like
something.
Train my dog to press the buttons on the recorder. Oh, so sad, dude. Yeah. So, yes, today we're talking drifting. I had a whole rant in the last episode. I'm not going to rant it again. So, let's just start it off. We talked about already these pro drivers are getting the boot from Formula Drift.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, but... It sucks for them because they're putting all this like time and effort into being the best driver they can. And you have like a poopy year and just, nope, go back to pro spec or go back to pro-am. Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
And if you want to pull up the rules and we'll read them again.
Yeah. So... I guess this was implemented last year in pro. So the license renewal process is top 32 ranked drivers automatically renew. And for drivers outside of top 32, so 33 to 48, drivers must petition in order to be considered for a license license renewal. For the right to register to the series of driver's choice. Drivers who do not petition or receive a rejection petition will be relegated to the Prospect Championship. So, people like Mike Power, he had a YouTube video recently where he's talking about it. They're basically, if you're outside that top 32, you get bumped back to Prospect. And it looks like, so for anyone who doesn't know, if you're looking at the rule book and you see red lettering, that is a new rule for this year. And it looks like Pro Spec will be doing that this coming year, so 2025, this year. License renewal process is top 24 for them. So if you're outside of top 24, just same process. Except if you don't get the approval, you go back pro-am. So that's what's going on.
It's dumb that they don't have like a, I don't know how to say this, but like your first year in kind of like a buffer.
Yeah, I agree. So I think a 1 year buffer would be a thing for sure.
Yes. I could go both ways on this. Like, you could have a buffer, but how many, like, licensing series are there now?
There's a few. Well, with, you know, like Hot Pit and stuff like that. Like they're doing it a little differently than like your typical pro-am. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a few. I mean, at least probably what? I would say probably eight, at least, probably, maybe.
That's probably a good guess. There's probably eight of them. And so let's say all the drivers that get their, like, ProSpec license go to ProSpec. So there's eight new drivers every year. It's probably getting to the point where they're like, we might have too many drivers.
Yeah, for sure.
Real hard to do, like, ProSpec have a top 64. And yeah. then just Pro having top 32.
Yeah.
It's a little backwards.
Which you think, I guess you can look at it this way, is like, you know, you'll have Pro-Am drivers and like, you know, say, you know, I won my pro license through, you know, Erie. I'm not going to FD. I don't have that kind of budget. So like, you know, my spot would take someone else's spot who didn't do better than 24. But if I'm not going, that person may petition and they'll get in because I'm not going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does make sense in like that aspect.
Yeah.
But it would really suck to have an off year and just be like, sorry, bud. Try your hand at Pro-Am again.
Yeah. Like, you know, like what happens if like someone like, you know, Forsberg has, I doubt 1 year is going to be enough for him to get bumped out. But like, you know, what if he has two bad seasons, like back to back? Is they going to bump him back to ProSpec? Like, it's crazy.
Could you imagine?
That would be a wild.
That would be insane. People would riot.
but it's just crazy to think about.
Do we have too many like pro drivers? Is that the issue here?
Must be.
Do you think that there's like enough pro drivers to run like a pro three or a pro spec spec?
Nah. I don't, because the event's already so long that they would probably never do that.
Or maybe even just run like a whole nother like pro series.
Yeah. Or split pro spec from pro. But the logistics in that would probably be insane. So.
Yeah. I don't know. We're not smart enough for this.
No, we're just talking about it. Yeah.
Drifting, man. Why do we do this?
I don't know, man. It's expensive, though. Let's say that.
Do you ever think drifting is going to, like, be this big thing? Like professional drifting? Because it's big, but it's not, like, big.
Still growing.
Yeah.
I figured it would get to this point eventually, I think.
Yeah.
Especially being in America, you know, everything's bigger, faster, you know. That's just the American way, I guess, you know. So.
Yeah. But do you ever think it'll be like NASCAR on TV? Think it has the potential, or is like, is there just too much downtime?
I don't know, dude. NASCAR's long, isn't it? Isn't NASCAR like a couple hours long? I've never watched a whole NASCAR race, so I don't know. But like,
yeah, I don't think I have either.
I would imagine they're at least, what, 3 hours long, probably, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I mean, I don't think an FD event is much more than that. So I think it could.
Yeah, but like NASCAR is just continuous, just driving, driving, driving.
Yeah.
There's sometimes like 5-6 minutes between each battle just for the judges to like watch it back repeatedly.
Yeah, they would have to really do some time management of some kind. And I will say I've been there and it is now, like there's no waiting. Like when it's time, it's time. You're going.
Yeah, if you're not up to the line, you're being...
Yeah, you're gone. Yep. So,
sorry for your loss.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Now, what if they this probably already exists, but like transponders in all the car that calculated angle, proximity, and speed and all that stuff, so you don't need judges.
I think that's coming in the future, personally, technology. Yeah. I mean, how do you get rid of bad judging? You know, because we know it's out there. There's no saying it's not. I mean, technology, and I mean, there'll be a lot of bugs in that, I'm sure, too, at first, but I don't know. I do see that in the future coming at some point, but I'm sure there'd be a lot of testing involved before it goes live, but
that way you could, like, I don't know. There's no, like, your eyes playing tricks on you, or the car was where it was supposed to be. The car following was where it was supposed to be, and they got a higher, like, point score, and so they're moving on.
Yeah, and I think if they did go to TV, like, have you ever watched, like, Supercross and stuff, where they do, like, the animated, like, like, lines and stuff on the track and stuff? Like, I think they could do stuff like that with it, too, and stuff. I don't know. I think they could do some cool stuff.
So, like, football plays on the screen?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be pretty cool. I mean, it would, I guess, give the viewer more stuff to look at, more stuff to go on, and kind of, I don't know, make it more enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, because the people who watch on TV might not know, like, anything. Yeah. They're like, oh, what's on channel 12? Formula Drift, what the hell's that? And they're like, oh, that car looked cooler. Why didn't that car win?
Right, yeah.
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 So what are your thoughts on James Dean running a Mustang in Europe?
I am really looking forward to seeing that, because I was watching him and Vaughn talk about it, and he said the car is going to be lower. Like, it's going to be because some people may not know this, but their tire over there is much grippier than ours. So basically they can take some suspension out of the car because they can rely on the tire grip more. So the car can be lower, a little bit more, I guess, stylish, I guess. So I'm curious to know if he will run the same amount of nitrous that they run here.
Jeez.
Because it is a lot. I think those engines are around 800 NA, and they run like a 400 shot or some wild stuff.
That's insane.
It is ridiculous.
That's a little bit too much nitrous.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they have failures sometimes. I think they're pretty good at keeping it under control, but I mean, with that much nitrous, you know, it's going to happen. But
One thing I'm just, like, interested to talk about is, why did they ship over, like, a bare shell and not just a completed car?
I'm guessing a customs thing.
You think?
There's nothing. Yeah, because if they just ship a bare shell over there that doesn't need a title, doesn't need anything, like, it's a race car. So, you know what I mean? I would almost guess that car may not even have a VIN number on it. So,
oh yeah, just like straight off production line.
So it was probably much easier to ship in pieces like that. So,
yeah,
because you figure they probably would ship subframes and everything with it, and just he can build the shell up there, and it'd be way easier and cheaper.
Yeah, because like I watched a little bit of James Dean like getting the car and unloading it or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, there's no cage or anything, just absolute bare shell. It's like engines on pallets and.
Yeah. But they have all the capability of building it themselves too. So.
Well, yeah, he's got multiple championship winning cars over there.
And he's got that new shop and stuff. So, yeah.
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 It's like, is this a way to push RTR in Europe, or is this just like a one-time thing? Or
I think it's a push for, because I think there's already another one in Europe somewhere, isn't there? I seen he shipped another one over there, I think, too.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But should be sweet. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just. But yeah, I would imagine the shell was probably much easier to ship over with customs and all that stuff. And yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of weird legal stuff going on there that they were trying to bypass.
Yeah, I never really thought of it like that.
It's understandable.
It's also like, these were probably recorded like months ago, but like, is he starting this build right now?
Probably not. It's probably been on the move.
That'd be insane.
I bet they could finish that car in a month. I bet. Month, 2 months, maybe at the most.
Yeah.
With all the parts and everything.
Yeah, I guess. I guess they are like a actual race shop, and it's not just us in our garage
waiting on parts forever, and you know,
waiting to get paid just to buy the parts, and
yeah,
in our one hammer and three wrenches, and
yeah.
Oh, geez. Yep.
Yeah,
dude, I'm still annoyed that we're doing this again.
Yeah,
because what it's was all right, though. 25 minutes is now compressed into 16, because who wants to talk about that stuff twice?
Right, yeah.
So, let's talk about new drift cars, getting into drifting, and what you should do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you're a new driver, you're building... Not even building, you're getting your first drift car with all the knowledge you have right now, but you don't know how to drift. What? Where do you go?
350Z. 350Z, GK Tech, angle adapter, weld the diff, drive.
See, I hate that answer.
It's cheap, and you are going to crank so many laps. Like, it is probably one of the cheapest cars to get into now. Like, in just with minimal work to actually go drive it. Like, BMWs, I mean, they're okay. But...
Well, we'll get to BMWs. We'll just talk about the 350Z by itself first.
Okay. But, I mean, I've driven one, and it was great. Like, it was fun. It was easy to drive. Like, I actually want one really bad for a seat time car. So, just because it's easy. And... Oh, my friends have them. Two of my friends have them. Like, it's just, it's easy. So.
And now, room for improvement, like, cost to upgrade. And, like, let's say you've been driving this 350Z for 3 years now, and you're like, I want to do a Pro-Am. Do you stick with this car? Or do you buy a different car?
You could. I mean, Matt Moncalian did Pro-Am in his stock Z, and he did pretty well. So, I think... You would really have to drive the absolute shit out of it, and you're unlikely to win with it. Yeah. But I think it's a good platform to build off of. I think. I mean, there's a few of them in FD. Like, I mean, the angle kits for them are quite expensive. I will say that. Like, if you upgrade from just the cheap GK Tech adapter, which I'm not aware of any other. Simple cheap bolt on for them other than that
FDF
one.
FDF as a
okay. Yeah, FDF does have one too, that's right. But with the FDF one you could build off of that. Actually I think you can do that with GK Tech as well. Like those parts work with their big angle kit.
Yeah, but, I think you're right.
I mean you can upgrade it, I think. You know, you could always swap out the engine. I would probably not do anything to the stock engine personally, but I know people like Theon are big VQ guys. He's got a turbo VQ and it rips, but that's not the route I would go. Mm-hmm. I would probably go LS just because I like LSs. So, but people put Jay-Z's in them too. They fit well. So
yeah. TJ Hunt. Ugh.
Yeah.
See, I do agree with you on everything you said so far. Because, like, stock with just a little bit of angle stuff, they're, like, perfect for seat time.
Yeah.
You'll get literally infinite laps.
Yeah.
Like, the only, like, downfall of those cars is, like, the engine. Because, like, they got variable valve timing and they got timing issues, which Austin fought with a little bit. But, like, figure that out and you're cool.
Yeah, actually, my buddy Joel and Aaron are both kind of dealing with problems like that. So maybe I'll have to reach out to Austin and see what he was dealing with.
His car, but, like, died a block from my house.
Oh,
or something stupid.
Nice.
But, yeah, and then upgrading with your car. Which are great because they have the bigger, better Nissan diff.
Yeah.
So you don't need to upgrade that.
Yeah,
they have,
which actually, if you wanted to, you could up, so you can upgrade to 370 axles and stuff. They just, I think you have to swap hubs too, but that's easy stuff, you know? Yeah.
But yeah, they come with a CD00 whatever, depends on what year you have. And those are fantastic transmissions. I don't care what anybody says, they're fantastic. They're a little heavy. Like, bolts to any engine you'd ever want to swap into your car.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, everybody makes an adapter plate for them. So for damn near everything now. So
my only issue, they're so ugly.
They are not good on the eyes. However, Origin just came out with a body kit for them and it looks sick. So
I'll take your word for it. I still just can't. It's not for me, man.
I will send you a picture of it and you will probably be like, okay, yeah, that looks pretty good. But yeah, they are ugly for sure.
And we're going to say this, like, we can go hand in hand with the G35. It's the same car.
Yeah. Very similar cars for sure.
See, now if I was to do this, start over, brand new car, I'm an idiot. I am so stupid. I'd probably go with a Mustang.
S550?
It's probably New Edge.
Okay, yeah. Good car.
It's just
Scotty D angle kit, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever it's called now. I think it changed names or something, but
like the benefits, just it's got the power. Need coilovers and some angle stuff.
Yep.
And you can just go drifting.
Yep.
Now, let's say you want to do like pro-am in it or something. Yeah, it's possible. But like, solid axle ain't really it.
No. But, yeah, I mean, with a 300 tread wear tire, you're pretty limited.
Yeah.
But
the grip in that tire runs out pretty quick.
Yeah. If you're running a 200 tread wear tire, you have some options.
Yeah.
But, I think you could do okay with it, but.
And like, there's dudes who like, they do okay, but like.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to hurt yourself before you help yourself.
But you could always swap rear ends. You could swap to a IRS rear end, right? From like a Cobra or something.
Yeah, but you say that until you see the price of one.
Yeah.
A loaded like Cobra subframe's like start at $2,000.
Yeah. But I mean it's not the worst. I mean if you're serious and you're trying to do pro am, I mean $2,000 is
this not yeah, that I guess much. You're right, it's not that much money. But it's like for us it's kind of a lot of money.
Yeah. You could piece one together probably too, you know what I mean? Buy just the bare subframe and then a diff and
But if you're like with these cars you want to get like high horsepower, like the transmissions don't hold up.
Yeah.
Well, like a T45 or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Or I don't know, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you could just go out and buy a Cobra and then you'll have all the good stuff, but who's got Cobra money?
Yeah, they're probably pretty expensive, yeah. Well, okay. So let's talk about what would your budget range be if you were starting in a new car? Like if you were, you know, your knowledge that you have and like you're starting out fresh, new, never drifted before. What's your budget? What would you
See, spend. The budget when I started was almost nothing.
Yeah,
now the budget to today is, you got to have a budget.
Yeah.
Because, like, cars aren't cheap anymore.
I would assume the minimum budget would probably be $5,000, right? Like,
five. You could do it on five.
Yeah. You could, I mean, you could easily buy a Z for, what, $3,500? It's probably a little wore out. You might have to replace some stuff. But I would say you could, with a $5,000 budget, you could go drifting with a Z for sure.
See, if I was to budget for a car, I'd probably just save a little extra, maybe 6 or 7. It just buy someone's car that, like, is ready to go.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Because, like, why fight and, like, spend all that time? Like, when you're starting out drifting, you're like, most people don't know how to work on cars.
True. I did not at all. So.
So, like, you're buying these angle kits and you're like, I don't know what any of this shit is. What's a wrench?
So, yeah, when I started, there wasn't any of that, so
yeah.
There was no angle kits, there's nothing, so.
So, like, I'd spend a little extra and get someone's car and just go rip.
Yeah, that's a great option, because you can usually find one with some stuff done to it, so that's definitely a very good option.
And, like, that starting budget could be, honestly, whatever you wanted.
Yeah, true. Like, whatever you can afford.
If you're, like, don't want to spend much money, yeah, go with a Z. Or, like, another great starting drift car, if you have a little bit more money, would be a C5 Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
That's about a $10,000 budget, 15 maybe.
Last, dude. You got a base model.
Could be. Yeah.
You could find a high mileage. This is if you can fix stuff. You get a high mileage automatic C5 for like $6,000.
Yeah.
They're out there.
And you got to put a transmission in it. And those transitions are pricey.
That's the thing. They're not, dude.
Really?
The cheapest,
I thought they were kind of.
No, the cheapest T56 is a Corvette T56. So,
okay.
Like $1,200.
That's not bad. That's pretty cheap.
And then you can.
I guess they are kind of.
Fit one
you can't
thing.
Use it on anything else. Yeah. So it makes sense on the
there's
price.
There's dumb people out there like, oh, I'm going to swap the front and the back half and put it in. No, stop.
No,
don't.
No,
you spent so much money.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't ever even think about that. But yeah, you got knuckle adapters. A set of coilovers, and boom, cheap drift car.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's so much room for improvement.
Yeah.
It's like,
they are a little bit of a pain to work on, especially if you don't have a lift. But if you have a lift, you're in business.
Oh,
but
yeah. Like,
you don't have a lift.
Cause, like,
it's a little rough.
LS engine, great 6-speed transmission.
Yeah.
And you just... go drive. You want horsepower? Put a cam. You want more horsepower? Put a supercharger on it. Put turbos on it. They don't really fit, but these options are available.
Yeah, there's tons of kits out there for them. A lot of people do rear mount turbos on those too. There's a lot of room in the back, but
I hate that.
I'm not a big fan of them either. I have a friend with that setup, and I mean it drove good. I drove it, but yeah.
I guess if you're into that.
I'm not into that. I don't think it would be great for drifting personally, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Now there's going to be people who are like, but what about the BMWs? You forgot the BMWs. And like,
let's touch on that.
They are dollar to drift. They're great.
Yeah.
They're lovely. You ever work on a BMW?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good engineering at all.
No.
It's bad.
And you're like, they require special tools.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, oh, my E36, it's so fast when I drift, or it's so nice. It's like, that's great and all, but what was the last... like, how easy was the last service you worked on it? Like, it's, they're not easy to work on.
No, they're not. They aren't.
And like, but AdMLZ, he drifts this, and
I would say an E36 is probably easier than an E46, probably. Oh, but
we'll get to that too. Yeah. There's so many. We'll even start earlier, like with an E30.
Yeah.
You buy an E30 to drift. Doesn't matter if it's sedan, coupe, convertible. The rear suspension is terrible.
Yeah.
There is almost no adjustment for toe and camber. But you can get the road racing stuff that gives fancy, adjustable whatevers. It's super expensive. So, yeah, you don't... You drive one because you like how it looks. You don't care how fast it is. Then you look at the engine. Why are there so many vacuum lines everywhere? Like, what is going on?
It's like, bad design.
It's terrible. And you're like, break one of those vacuum lines that are now 40 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why my car doesn't run. It runs terribly. And...
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'll get something a little bit more modern. Go for an E36. Do a set of headers on it. Never worked on a car before? Go put a set of headers on E36. Tell me how fun it is and how accessible everything is. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll just swap the engine out. It's like...
Put an LS in it.
Yeah, you can. But we're talking, you're starting out with never working on cars, your first drift car. Yeah, BMWs, they look cool. The parts are pretty cheap.
Yeah, for the most part.
It's like $1,200 for a really nice one.
Yeah.
It's just, you work on it once, and you hate the car.
Literally.
It's...
Yeah.
So me, being me, looking for an entry-level car, never. And like, Vinny's going to listen to this, and he's going to message in our group chat and be like, what do you mean? Brother.
Yeah.
Brother. Brother. They're not the worst cars. We'll get to those, because there are worse cars.
Yeah.
And now, you want a pro-am car, you want a pro-spec car, you want a pro car, get you an E36.
Yeah.
Damn right.
For sure.
They move.
Oh, yeah. They're very... Vinny's car is very fast for what it is. Dude,
so fast for what was probably 250 horsepower less than me, and he fucking blew my doors off.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Vinny.
With a terrible alignment, apparently, too.
Oh, it's like his toe out on one side and his toe in on the other, they match.
Yeah.
His car probably dog walks like terribly.
Yeah.
You could see the passenger door as he drives down the street from behind.
Oh, God.
But yeah, entry, first drift car, E36, E46, they're kind of the same.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest it.
I wouldn't either, personally. So, I mean, if that's your flavor, though, I mean...
The only thing that's like, I don't know, it's kind of like fighting these statements is how cheap they are.
Yeah, they are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
If you buy one, especially if you buy one not running, you can get one for $500 all day long.
They all don't run.
Yeah, true.
Oh.
Mine runs pretty good, but I also don't drift it, so it's just a daily.
It's... you can argue with me all you guys want that are listening to this, but BMW just ain't it. And like, you want an even more modern car, you go E90, E92, E82, E87, E93, E92. All those cars you could.
Yeah.
You go like, oh my God, 335i, twin turbo, great 6-speed transmission, great diff. Pull the oil pan off to reseal it and then talk to me. It is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
It's like labor time is like 15 hours. It's an oil pan gasket. Then after that, you get your on stock, your stock turbos, and you're like, oh, why do my turbos rattle? Got to put another set in. It's the same thing. You're pulling the subframe out, and you're working on these turbos from underneath the car.
Yeah.
Do that with jack and jack stands.
Not fun.
And it's like, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, you can do it. But it's like, there's so much plastic on these cars.
It's, dude, I swear to God, every time I get in my E46 and I press something, it breaks. I'm dead serious. Like, it's horrible.
It's like, the valve covers on these cars are plastic.
Yep.
The intake manifold's plastic. All of the coolant outlets off the block are plastic. So it's like, you get a little hot with your coolant temps. Oh, valve cover warped. Sorry. Replace that. Oh, the coolant outlet on the front of the block that is covered in 14 pounds of oil cake. Yeah, I'll replace that too. And
yeah,
it's just, if you don't know what you're doing, don't buy these cars.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the N54, N55, turbo stuff, turbo issues, stuff gets hot. You're like, oh, buy an N52 car. Still got all that plastic stuff.
Yep.
It's all plastic. It's all garbage. It's all plastic.
Yeah. It's not great. But if you're a go-getter and you like to work on cars, hey, see, might now, be for you.
Now, if you want to build like a pro car and you're like E92, E82, them HGK cars are pretty dope. Stop. Yeah. Just stop. Don't do it. It's one of my worst mistakes ever. Yeah, like, they got wise fab for the rear. We can put in all the grip we want, but, like, nobody can agree on how to make these cars fast yet. Give it 5 years. When people are giving these cars away, give it 5 years.
Yeah.
Or just be dumb like me and buy one and think it's the coolest thing ever. All right, what's another beginner drift car people should look at?
I'm trying to think.
Man, you drive one.
Oh, yeah. Best chassis. best car ever. Sorry.
I disagree.
The S chassis is a great chassis. The price of them now is just not awesome. It is not, you know, 10 years ago, great beginner car. You could get them into them pretty cheap.
Yeah, you're picking them up for like $1,500.
All day, yeah. Yeah. Now, you're finding a clapped piece of shit for like $8,000. So, not ideal.
There's people selling like non-rolling shells for like $4,000 or
$5,000. Yeah. It's like,
who's buying that?
If you can find one cheap, great car to start with. Coilovers, welded diff. You can drive them stock angle. I drove them stock angle for years. It worked fine, especially for stock KA power. Works fine. You can do some mods, longer tie rods, stuff like that to get a little more angle. That's usually what I did. I think I bought, I ran Toge Factory outer tie rods. And I had a fair bit of angle. No, not, you know, cut knuckles or anything like that kind of angle. But it worked fine. But cut knuckles.
Yeah.
Cheap. Like $250.
You could probably find them used for even cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah. Or mod them yourself for free if you can weld. So, all the info is there. If you just Google, all the forums are still there, so you can get all that awesome history, you know? So, it's a good car. S14, a little more expensive, a lot more expensive. S13s, you can still get. You can find them cheap still-ish.
Yeah.
Couple grand. Usually they'll have some stuff done to them already, so. But, K's are slow. I will say that. They're not fast, like 150 horsepower. But you will learn some serious technique from throwing that car around. So throw a 4.9 diff in it with a stock KA.
Yep.
Great.
Wonderful.
But yeah, it'll make it much, much more drivable for sure. So
see, now here comes my argument on why you shouldn't buy one. Okay, so you're driving, you're 3 years in on your stock KA, you might have put a turbo on it.
Yeah.
Now you want to do bigger, faster events. Like, let's upgrade this car to like a pro spec car.
Yeah.
And with that, you can, your diff is terrible. Your axles are terrible.
Yep.
You can't do anything with the stock transmission.
Nope.
Unless you're going to be dumb and put a UZ in the car. But we won't even touch base on that. Don't
recommend that.
Put those in there. In anything.
Don't do it.
Stop it. Like, yeah. So you need a transmission. You need a diff. You need an engine. And to LS swap, you need a very expensive oil pan. You need very expensive headers.
My headers are only like $500, and they fit all right. Yeah, CX Racing headers, they fit all right.
Okay, so that
I wouldn't say they fit amazing, but yeah.
You get the sicky ones for like $1,300 or something.
Sorry, not sorry, but I would never buy anything sicky.
Thank you. Sorry. Which we could talk about that in a later podcast.
That's fine.
Because I love not buying sicky stuff.
Same. I've never bought anything sick. You know what? I lied. I did. I bought a power steering line.
Dumb.
But that
probably
was it.
Didn't even work.
No, it works fine. It's still in the car. But I was like, they can't mess that up. So.
But yeah, you want cheap options to upgrade the diff and transmission? You buy a Z diff.
Yeah.
You buy. So
if you just do a cammed LS or something.
Yes, you can, but we're
talking. You can still run the stock rear end. I do. I haven't really broke any axles that weren't, like, my fault. Yeah. So.
Which, it's possible. Just.
Which, Troy ran, like, 600 horsepower for years on the stock diff and axle.
Which is insane.
It is. He's a very smooth driver, though.
Okay.
I am not that. I am not that.
Oh God, no.
I use a lot of clutch, and I am a dickhead when I drive. So.
But then you want a cheap transmission? You could get a BMW transmission.
ZF, yeah.
Get a CD from a Z.
Yep.
And you could have just bought one of those cars instead for less money.
Yeah. Or a T56, which is.
Yo, I saw one. If it wasn't like more than a 5 hour drive, I would have went and got it. But I found a T56 with an adapter to like a 4 bolts bell housing for $1,200.
That's cheap.
Yeah. But if it wasn't so far away, I thought about buying it. But yeah, back to the S chassis, just there's so much money to upgrade that you're almost better in like selling the car right
they're
now.
They're expensive drivetrain wise.
Yes.
Everything else for them, probably the cheapest stuff you're going to buy.
Exactly. Like if you want a nice looking car, aero's used everywhere.
Yeah, it's cheap. Like probably the cheapest aero on the market, if I had to guess.
Oh yeah, you can get used stuff, you can get
probably has the most aero kits too. Like there's so many. There's, you know, genuine, and then you got cheap eBay stuff, and like some of the eBay stuff doesn't fit great. Some does, but
I'm gonna toss in like the R chassis with these,
because
they're almost the same car.
R32 and an S13 are basically the same thing underneath.
Yeah.
So
it just has a Z32 front suspension, right?
Yeah, I think so. Something
like that. It's all mismatched dumb stuff.
Yeah.
So now
our 33 is pretty similar to a S14 in the rear end for sure. Front end is definitely not, but and you can bolt all S14 stuff up to them though. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on the coilovers, but everything else I think fits.
So we've went through the Nissan cars, the BMW cars.
Yep.
I'm gonna put all Mustangs together.
Yeah.
Because that's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
Plus if you're just starting out, you're not buying like a S550 or whatever.
Probably not. Not unless you already have one and you're like, this thing's paid off. I'm gonna go drifting with it. You know?
Exactly.
That could be a thing, but
So then we'll move to my favorite manufacturer,
Mazda.
Which, best car ever made. let's talk the Mazda Miata real quick. They aren't really cheap anymore. You can get them cheap. They'll be a little crusty, but you can get them cheap.
Yeah.
Just the NA and NB, they may look different. Same car. Like, oh, the rear sub, same car. It's look a little different. Same car.
Yeah. That's cool.
Turbo kits. You want 250 horsepower? Go for it. Stock trans, stock diff will kind of hold. Kind of. Go anything over that, the engine, transmission, diff will not. None of it. So, like, entry level, yeah, they're cool. They're hard to drift. My only, like, tip with that is drive faster. The car is harder to rotate around if you're moving fast. So, drive faster with a Miata.
Yeah.
That's it. Just, you won't spin out if you're going really fast. And if you do, you just die.
Yeah. I would say the technology for them has come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Destroyer. Taylor Ray's car is gnarly.
Yeah, the Destroyer die front suspension and rear suspension is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. Drop knuckles, insane angle. It just works. Buy it, install it, drive. Yep. No more snappy. It's all a myth.
Yep.
But let's say you want to upgrade and do pro-am, pro-spec stuff. The Miata becomes insanely expensive. Because rear diff, your options are CTS V diffs or Ford 88s. And the mount kits are insanely priced. The axles are insanely priced. The diffs are insanely priced. And then you're like, oh, I'll put a T56 or something in it. In an LS. And the transmission doesn't really fit.
Yep.
And you have to buy these, like, frame rail reinforcements just to have the transmission mount. And that's expensive. And then you gotta buy a fancy subframe. Then a fancy oil pan. For the LS, and it's just incredibly expensive. Expect to spend like $15,000 to $20,000 just to LS swap your Miata with owning the car.
Yeah.
And that's just like to get your foot in the door. You're like,
5.3
transmission and diff. It's insane.
Okay, let me hit you with this other option. K series.
Also expensive.
Kind of figured.
So expensive.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a cool option.
Yeah. I'm going to throw back a even better idea. EcoBoost.
Okay. I don't think I've seen an EcoBoost in a Miata yet. I don't think.
See, the NC Miata, third generation.
Yeah.
Uses a Ford-style block. So, the EcoBoost bolts to the NC transmission. So
that's cool.
Can it hold 400 horsepower? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not at all.
Yeah.
And now another option, which is dumb. Rotaries, which I'm going to throw a little knowledge your way to people who don't know. The non-turbo FC transmission and the non-turbo Miata transmission, well, just the Miata transmission, and the B2200 transmission, they're all almost the same with different ratios. You can take the front half of all these transmissions and put them on all of the other ones. You take the back half, put all of them together. So you take your 13B, the front half of your NA transmission to the back half of the Miata transmission, and then you cut like a quarter of an inch off the input shaft. So you use RX-7 like pressure plate, use Miata clutch disc, and it all just like bolts into the car. So you use Miata transmission, Miata power plant frame, Miata diff. You're not making high horsepower on the setup, but you can like have fun. And if you want super, super easy mounts, the 12A front cover can use like a the plates, that style.
Yeah.
Because that's how it is in the FCs. They're not FC, FB. They use like a bar off the front of it. Like you can just make a bar straight to the frame rails. Boom, rotary mounted in this car for super, super cheap.
But there was a dude around here who had one, a Miata with a FD motor in it, and that thing was nuts. It was a drift car, but this was also 2012 probably, maybe somewhere around that era, and it was, the technology was not there for the rest of the chassis.
No, it was
that thing was nuts. It was one of my favorite cars. It was so cool.
But yeah, if you want to drift for fun, the Miatas are dope. They work. Technology's there. If you want to do anything higher than that, find a whole new manufacturer.
Yeah.
Because they're...
Yeah, because FC RX-7, they're getting pretty expensive now.
It's not only that.
They're hard to find.
Let's say you want an FC... You can LS swap it, which is cool. They make kits for an 8.8 rear diff. Cool.
Yeah.
Your limiting factor, the rear suspension is terrible. It is, like, on par with the, like, E30. It's that bad.
Okay.
They're so bad.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, we got the RX-8.
Which, a little bit better, rear suspension.
Yeah.
Actually, the RX... The RX-8 and the NC Miata share, like, suspension.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, the RX-8 is just a longer car.
Yeah.
Like, if you want a cheap LS swap in an NC Miata, put an RX-8 subframe in it. And then the mounts are super cheap for it.
Okay.
Which,
that's cool.
Not many people know this. Or if you want a rotary swap one, just put the RX-8 transmission. Or, sorry, subframe in. And it's easy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they got wise fab front and rear for these cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising nobody, like, uses them more. But it's still, like, my car with the 5 control arm rear suspension. Like, people use it, but they don't really understand it yet.
Yeah.
And then you could spend some real money on an FD. Which... Suspension's better than the FC, but it's still terrible.
Yeah.
And then you're...
They look good, though.
It's my next car. I don't care. It's happening.
Yeah, do it.
It's just, to get into one, you're spending... You're starting at 10 grand to buy a roller.
Yeah.
Starting at 10 grand.
And it may be missing some key points.
Oh, yeah. You want interior? So. Yeah, it doesn't come with that.
Nope.
You're spending another 6 grand on interior.
Yeah, good luck finding it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So, are we missing any cars? We can put the C5 and C6 together because it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, boy.
What's going on? 1 second.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Sorry, anybody who heard that, because I'm going to leave my dogs barking in on this. They are lovely, and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, okay. So, where were we?
We were talking about Mazdas. Finishing up with those, but...
Oh, yeah. And they're how terrible they are.
Yeah.
Because they are kind of terrible. No offense. I love them, but they're terrible.
There's a seat for every ass. So, I mean, if you like it, go for it. You can make it work. There's a will, there's a way. That's all there is to it. Yes. It'll be good enough, I think.
Summarize, just get a car, go drive.
Yeah.
It's much cheaper if you buy, like, one thing at a time.
Yes.
In the long run. And, like, you don't need a super fast car to have fun. You don't need every upgrade available. You just do what you want.
Personally, it's better if you start with a slower car because you'll learn a lot more technique and it'll be a lot funner, especially when you do have power, because then you can take all that technique and throw it into the high horsepower car, and it's a lot funner.
Yeah, so, I definitely agree with that. It's just...
I don't have a high horsepower car, but...
One thing I don't suggest you do is just, like, try to reinvent the wheel. There's dudes out there like, oh, I'm going to rear-wheel drive swap my Subaru, and we're going to drift. And, like, yeah, the parts are there, but what are you doing? Just stop.
If you're going to do that, get a seat time car first.
Yeah.
Also, do it on the side.
Like, Camaros and stuff, like F-bodies and whatnot. Stop trying to drift them. I know, James, you're not watching this, but James Callen, like, he drifts a pretty dope one. Like,
yeah.
He can do it, but he reinvented the wheel and it took forever. And, like,
yeah,
just stop. People, do what people have already done before, then make the car your own.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because drifting is really about seat time. So,
yeah, like, who cares what your car looks like? I don't care what your car looks like.
Yeah, me either.
Maybe people are like, oh, the car looks stupid. It's missing a hood. It's like, shut up. They're not driving. You are.
Yeah. Just drive. Have fun.
Just have all the
fun. It's what the sport was built on, was fun. So.
Oh, geez. Well, let's just hop right into the questions.
Okay.
Usually I ask these questions like a day or two ahead of time. I asked these 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
So let's start right off the rip with Trace Randolph asking, what is your dream drift setup? And I'm talking rig, trailer, and car. You could start.
So start with tow rig would be. So I really like my truck. It's a 91 F-350. However, the drivetrain is absolute dog water. It is terrible. I would, if I kept that truck, I would put an LBZ Duramax swap in it. I think that would be my dream swap in that truck. But other than that, I would probably pick a new Duramax dually. Trailer, I would probably pick, I don't know, 32 foot stacker trailer would be sick, and Pro Car S15 would be pretty awesome with a really, really rowdy S or LS in it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Jeez. Mine, I'm a simple guy, dude. Simple. Touareg, I actually want a van.
That's dope.
They sold for a while. LMM Duramax Express vans.
Yes.
I own a LMM Duramax Sierra, and it's awesome. It's literally the perfect truck. But a van would be dope just because I'm a bit of a mess, and I just want to throw everything in the back and then go.
Yeah.
But I can't because it might fly out of the back of my truck. Yeah. So probably that. The trailer, probably, I don't know, I don't want a big trailer. Like, this is dumb, but probably a 20-foot enclosed.
It's so small.
It's so small, but I have the van to put stuff in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just small, light rig, and the car, I've been talking about this forever. I want an FD. Doesn't even have to be, like, pro-worthy. I just want an FD just to look at, to sit in. And
what engine?
I want to say rotary, but I'm not sealed enough to do rotary stuff. So probably just an LS. I talk about EcoBoost stuff, but probably just an LS.
I like it. Hell yeah.
Austin asked us questions this time. Shout out to our teammate and lover, Austin Fay. This question is specifically for you. What is your favorite car that's not drift related?
I mean, you could drift it, but I've always been a big fan of the Nissan Laurel. I love that car. I'm weird. I know. I just love that car. Kitted, slammed, RB. I would daily that all day long.
Oof. I hate that answer.
I almost had one a couple of years ago, and I'm stupid and didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. It was so cheap, too.
They aren't anymore.
No, that same car came back up for sale after 2020, and it was like $20,000+. So, yeah, I was going to pay $3,000 for it. So,
And Austin asked me, Josh, what do you do in your free time when you aren't drifting? This is going to sound super lame, but when I'm not drifting, I think about drifting and how to make it either more affordable or how to make my car better. If you were to go on like my search history on my phone, it's like me just researching. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm playing Pokemon Go because kind of lame. Kind of been my thing lately.
You like what you like.
Yeah, fight me for it. I don't care. All right, Bryce asks, what's your favorite food?
Asian food. So I would say sushi, ramen. In there,
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
love it. Love it.
I'm indifferent about that stuff. I don't love it. I'm a taco kind of guy, dude.
Just, love me some tacos. You could too. Put
anything in a little taco shell, hard, soft, moist, and just it's the perfect palate for eating food.
It's good. I agree.
Bucket list place to visit.
Like in general, not drift related, just in general. Not
drift related.
Japan.
So yeah, I didn't hit record again, so we lost 10 minutes. I'm just going to run you up to speed. Bucket place to visit. We both say Japan, because Japan's dope.
Yeah.
Thoughts on style over function. There's a place for both. Dream drift car, we already answered. And... Yeah. Yeah, we're just going to stop at that. It's been too many technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks for watching. We are the Dangerous Knights Drift Crew, and this is our podcast. Subscribe, like, comment. Tell your grandma about this. So, yeah, thank you, and good. Oh, hold on. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.